Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, along with Mike Palm, filling in for the vacationing Pauly Howard. And we'll expand here on tonight's huge baseball slate as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Kevin Rogers joins the program now. He's with Prize Picks. You can follow him on X at Rogers Picks. Good afternoon, pal. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Mitch, Mike, good to talk to you.
Mike, in the first hour, as we were running down some of the games on the card tonight, was trying to make a case maybe for the under in this Pirates-Mets game. What numbers are you showing, maybe specifically here on Keller for this matchup?
Well, I know that Mike had mentioned earlier about Mitch Keller and his record and how bad it's been. And in the first five, Mitch Keller has led one time in 16 starts. So that hasn't been good for him so far. But the only good news is it's a lot of low-scoring games with him in the first five. Four runs or less combined in the first five, and Ava's past nine starts. So at least a lot of these losses have been like 2-1, 2-0. So he's not terrible. It's just he's not getting the run support, and unfortunately, the Pirates can't take the lead. Now they're facing the Mets after this huge series they had against Atlanta, and they won last night, and the Mets are trying to, I don't want to say turn the corner, they've been good all year, but trying to bounce back from this losing skid they've had. So, I don't know, maybe the Mets struggle a little bit tonight with Keller, but also I think it's kind of tough to make an argument backing Keller in the first five, so maybe I'd lean more towards under first five as opposed to maybe backing the Pirates.
Kevin, the Rays are rolling and head into Baltimore only a half game behind the Yankees. They've only lost the first five once in their last 12 games, and you can find them at minus here at Circa, minus 130 first five with Pepiot going tonight.
It's been unbelievable, Mike, that this team was kind of average and struggled in the first five earlier in the year, and they had a stretch of almost 10 games. They didn't lead after the first five before they had that sweep at San Diego in late April, and they struggled again after that coming home. But Tampa Bay, I know you guys have been Mike's been very high in Tampa Bay, and for good reason of what they've done. I don't know if they're just getting used to their new stadium that they're in this year, the minor league stadium with Tropicana Field on the Fritz. But even looking at what they did against Kansas City, they didn't allow a run in the first five innings in any of those three games in that sweep. And in fact, the past five games, the Rays have given up just two runs in the first five. So they've been very good. That also means they've gotten good starting pitching, which has also been very key. And when you take a look at the Orioles, they just had that crazy series against Baltimore where they trailed 8-0, came back and won a game that you would have thought Baltimore would have won the first five in that one and didn't even do it because it was tied after five. But Baltimore has been kind of bad in the first five. Recently, they had a nice little run back in late May, early June, but they've been shut out in the first five the past two games. I mean, one of the games they faced Jacob DeGrom, so that's never easy. But they've had some struggles. So, yes, I would definitely look at Tampa Bay or maybe even Tampa Bay minus a half in the first five just because of the way they've been playing recently.
Great breakdown. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Kevin Rogers, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X. He's at Rogers Picks. So this week when I was looking at the schedule, I kind of had the Yankees-A's game circled because Will Warren has been pretty damn good going over his K prop or striking out a lot of guys during some of these games, and the A's have a tendency to be involved in games where they whiff a ton. But I was also hoping for different numbers that we have on the board tonight, like 5.5 with respectable juice to the over or 6.5 plus money. Forget about it. Not going to happen. But do you think it might be still worth a bet because of how elite he's been and also looking at how bad the A's are when it comes to striking out?
I mean, it definitely is, Mitch. 12 of the last 16, he's gone over his K prop. So he just continues. Quick story. I remember earlier this year, I took the under on him against Texas because Texas had some good numbers under their K prop against their opponents. And Warren had like six strikeouts in the first like 2 2/3 innings. It was something crazy. I said, well, that was a bad pick. But with Warren, though, he's been very good. Six strikeouts his last time out against Baltimore, had 10 against the Angels. So, and those have been home starts. He's been very good also at home. But also on the flip side, even though it doesn't apply to Warren necessarily, with the Yankees, they've had their problems as far as striking out. In 10 of their past 12 games, opposing starting pitchers have gone over their K prop against New York. So maybe take a look at the A's and whether or not It was Spence on the mound tonight.
Yep.
Maybe he gets a few strikeouts to go over, but the Yankees have had a lot of strikeouts the last few games, especially in the Cincinnati series. 6 against Lodolo, 8 against the rookie Burns, and 9 against Brady Singer, who had gone under his K-prop, had a long streak of it. So Brady Singer bounced back against the Yankees. So maybe look at Spence over and Warren. It's hard to make an argument for him to go under tonight.
The king of the tees, Mitch Moss, referenced this at the end of the last segment. The immovable object and irresistible force in Arizona tonight with Merrill Kelly, whose strikeout prop is 5.5, gone over in 9 straight starts, but he's playing against a Marlins team fresh off a sweep in San Francisco who have gone under the K-prop in 18 out of 21. What gives tonight?
You know, Mike, Mitch and I were texting earlier, and I said, you know, looking at the numbers here, I would lean more towards the Marlins. Well, Kelly just going under and the Marlins streak continuing because it really hasn't moved. It stayed at 5.5, and I don't know if the odds makers are coming around to the Marlins not striking out a lot, but even looking at some of their numbers of late and all the unders, it's been 5 or less in a lot of these games. They did stay under against Logan Webb in the Giants series where it was a 6.5 and Webb had 6. So, yes, it stayed under, would have gone over tonight's prop. But for the most part, a lot of these numbers are 5 and below, and Kelly's been very good. I don't know if he can keep that up. And, again, he could still have a good night with 5 strikeouts and still stay under. But if you said which one would you take, I'd probably lean towards the under and think that Miami would continue their streak or opposing pitchers not being able to strike out the Marlins. They've done a very good job at it after struggling earlier in the season, but got to give it to Miami for at least limiting their strikeouts.
The Astros had a crazy series against Philadelphia. I still really can't get over that. They swept them and they scored 5 runs, and the Phillies starters went 19 plus innings pitched and they allowed 3 runs the entire time and they never had a win, which is nuts. Now they play another good team in Chicago tonight. It's kind of a funky matchup on the mound. Horton takes on Walter, but what do you have here?
Yeah, with Walter, he's actually been a really good strikeout pitcher. And when you go through his first 4 starts for the Astros, all 4 of them have gone over his K-prop. So that's been a good streak for him. And again, he's not Framber Valdez. He's not Hunter Brown. He's not one of these guys that people pay attention to. But he's done a good job when he's been on the mound. And when you look at the Cubs, they've actually been one of the better teams not striking out against opposing pitchers. But with that being said, in 9 of their past 10 games against opposing starting left-handers, those lefties have gone over 9 times. The one time that stayed under was Tarek Skubal with 6. And we know Skubal always has a high strikeout number. So they stayed under, but still had 6 strikeouts in that game. So I would probably lean towards Walter with the over. It is at plus money, or at least last time I checked. But I keep riding him. And with the Cubs, I would say that they would keep that streak going. And even if you get 5, you still have a winner. So I would go with over on Walter tonight.
Kevin, another amazing stat that you sent us is about the Royals. And you mentioned earlier they didn't score a run in this series against Tampa Bay in the first 5. 4 runs in the last 12 at home in first 5s. And yet tonight against the Dodgers, and they've got a decent pitcher in Cameron going, it's the old American League first 5 total of 5. Is this an auto play under 5 here?
You know, Mike, it's funny, just going back for a second, I saw someone tweet out that the Royals had lost 10 straight at home. And I said, really? And I thought about it, and it's like, yeah, because they were on the road for a little bit, so you kind of forgot about those earlier sweeps at the hands of the Athletics and the Yankees. But it's just amazing the roller coaster ride the Royals have been on this year. And now they've gone the last 4 without a run overall, the last 3 at home against Tampa Bay, because they didn't score a run in the first 5 against San Diego in the finale on Sunday. But what's so interesting here, Mike, is that number one, you would think, oh, maybe take the Dodgers here. They're off the sweep of the Rockies. But Dusty May has been the worst first 5 pitcher for LA. He's 4-9-1 this year. So it's hard to make an argument for that. But also with how bad the Royals have been and offensively, you don't know if this could be the night that the Royals bust out. But also, I'm going to pass on the total as far as I don't really have an opinion on that. But I'll give you this number, though, guys. The Dodgers in their last 19 games against left-handed pitchers in the first 5, they've led 3 times. So You say, do you back the Dodgers here with as bad of the numbers with May and the lefties, or you back the Royals who can't score a run? That's what makes it so incredibly difficult. That's why this game has got to be a total pass, just because there's so many negative numbers on each side.
But 90 seconds here. Let's get the WNBA. What numbers here in any of these matchups really stand out to you tonight, Kevin?
I'm going to give you a few first quarter trends. The Dallas Wings, 9 straight unders in the first quarter, 12-4 to the under this year in the first quarter. Atlanta Dream, the best first quarter team at 11-4, 6-1 at home. Also, New York, 10-3-1 in the first quarter as they face Phoenix tonight. And they actually trailed at Golden State after the first quarter a few nights ago, came back and won the game. But, and the under for Indiana, 5-1-1 this year on the road. And no Caitlin Clark, so you wonder if that continues.
Very good. Hey, man, that was awesome info the entire time. Thanks for popping on today, and best of luck tonight and this weekend, okay?
Mitch, Mike, thank you so much. Have a good
weekend.
Kevin. There you go. Kevin Rogers on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Rogers Picks. He's with Price Picks as well. Has great numbers, as you can tell, throughout the entire year. And kind of have to come on today and share some of them. Did he talk you in maybe to the under on the Mets-Pirates game?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Specifically in the first five?
Yeah, first five.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the first five. Maybe this Dodgers-Royals. I used to love betting fives in the American League, right? Because they'd have the DH in the National League then.
You'd always
get five. Well, you take six to beat you.
Sure. I'll run some NFL MVP trends by Mike up next. And how does Circa usually do throughout the year booking awards? And I have a question about Grand Decimo, too, the $100,000 Survivor contest here at Circa. Mike, I want to run some MVP stuff by you in the National Football League. You guys book that award and other awards throughout the entire year. Like, you'll repost them again, I think it's, what, every Tuesday morning?
Yes.
After Monday Night Football. So it's great to have up, and you can still find some decent numbers on this stuff throughout the entire year, obviously. And you guys will take big bets on that stuff, too. How do you guys generally do booking NFL awards?
Not bad. We do better than booking baseball awards. We sometimes get beat up in the baseball awards, but we do okay. We did real well the year. Remember when Purdy was the favorite?
Oh, yeah.
And then he had the 4-interception game on Christmas against the Ravens. We took a lot of Purdy money that year, so we came out okay.
Well, at big numbers, or were they riding the wave late?
No, they were riding the wave late, and then that helped force it down. But I would say the coach of the year is a really tough market. Like, for people to make money on. Like,
there's no doubt.
Everybody should just be about the same odds, right, going into a year?
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe teams that have higher expectations should be a little higher odds than that. But, I mean, those kind of markets are – the sharper people bet into the rookie markets.
The rookie
more
of the year
so than
stuff.
The MVP markets.
Yeah, and I also think that's, again, some of the stuff that you really need to take advantage of throughout the year as it's unfolding, because you can probably make a case every year for, like, 8 coaches to win the award or maybe more – but somebody's going to, like, possibly stick out, like, week 12 at a pretty decent number still to bet that you never would have thought of at the beginning of the season. And I think the same can go for the MVP award as well. But if a long shot tip would win the award, would that do some damage to you guys? Like, a couple years ago, Christian McCaffrey was 200-1 to win the award. And he was in the mix. If somebody like that takes it down, is that a really bad day?
It depends, though. It's hard for me to make a blanket statement about that. Generally, if the longer shots make it bad, because even like the Cal Raleigh, you take one bet at 220-1, or you take a $1,000 bet at, 60-1 or something like that.
Right.
Can turn the market for us based on what our volume is. But it's really hard to have a real long shot win it, right? It's the same group of cast of 6 or 8 guys every year that are probably going to win.
So I have tapped out of making a case and betting some of these long shot non-quarterbacks because in recent years, I had McCaffrey that year 200-1, his first year with the full year with the 49ers. I had Derrick Henry with the Ravens the year that he went for more than 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns at like, it was a 400-500-1. Jonathan Taylor, late in the year against Buffalo, scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game, and Indy went there and killed Buffalo, and NFL media was on Twitter, and I think it was on the broadcast saying, Jonathan Taylor, there's your MVP. I had him 500-1. Cooper Kupp, my buddy and I would have retired if Cooper Kupp won. That might have been the same year as Taylor. So we're sitting there with 500-1 on both those guys, right? and they put together, especially the Cooper Cup year, that's going to be like difficult to
for Triple Crown.
Yes, for any receiver to exceed those numbers, and he was 100, 200, 500 to 1 to win the award like late in the year, just because books like pretty much know that a quarterback's not going to win it. So if I've had those tickets in the past, I had to pretty much retire coming up with any idea of betting someone to win the NFL outside of a quarterback.
Were you able to monetize those tickets at all by betting off the favorite against him?
So the year that I think it was, I have to go back, because if Taylor and Cooper Kupp were in the same year, mm-hmm. I ended up getting down and winning a lot of money on Aaron Rodgers, if that was the year. In fact, there was a book in town that let me get down $5,000 on one bet. And it was still at plus odds on him. So, yes. And that goes back to our conversation yesterday about, like, if Neat Clifford somehow at 100-1, or your guy, Clayton, now that Bailey's going to report tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, that's the
official
news, right?
Okay. But if you get into the mix and you could have a guy in the final, like, 3 weeks of the season, here's an example in the NBA. I had Brooke Lopez a couple years ago, 500-1 to win the Defensive Player of the Year.
How do you find these people at 500-1?
That was at the old, before MGM switched over to their national sports book. And they would leave numbers up all the time and like never move them.
Oh, it was a bad number.
It was probably a bad number.
Should have been what, 75-1?
No, because at the time he should have been a long shot.
Okay.
But I thought 500-1, my God, and he was off to a blazing start, like blocking 6 shots a game, whatever it was for the Bucks. He got to even money late in the year. And that's the perfect scenario to monetize a ticket for an award. He got to even money. I had 200 on him. So I was able to put down a lot. It was a two-horse race between Brooke Lopez and Jaren Jackson. And I was just firing on Jaren Jackson as often as I possibly could. So that was the perfect storm for me.
So the highest price I ever had on an individual award was Kenta Maeda for...
Oh, my God.
He went from the Dodgers to the Twins.
To Twins. Was that the COVID year?
The COVID year. He still has the lowest whip ever of a full season. That year he had a whip of 0.75. It's the lowest in history. Of course, it was 60 games.
Right.
Right? I bet him at 125-1. Now, he had come off. Remember, the year before, the Nationals won the World Series. They beat the Astros.
Yeah, yeah.
But they played the Dodgers in the division round. Nomo would have been the MVP if the Dodgers would have won. Or Nomo. Maeda would have been the MVP as a relief pitcher in that series. He faced 14 Nationals. Allowed one hit with 10 strikeouts. Like, wow. He was a dominant, and he gets traded to the American League, and I said, they haven't seen him over there. He had an incredible year, right? But Bieber unanimously won the award. But so it gets to August, and now it's Bieber, and they're 1-2 in the market. I just bet Bieber props every start the rest of the way, right?
Oh, there you go.
Right? And so that's how I monetized it.
Sure.
Because he was already, like, minus 300, and he was 6-1, and I had 125-1. So then I said, I'm not laying 300. I'm going to bet minus 110, 120 all the rest of the way on Bieber starts and get the money out of it.
Yeah, very good. So you ended up capitalizing quite well on that.
Yeah, I wish I would have 125
to
1, though.
No kidding. I mean, because I take long shots a lot, and it doesn't always work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've lost a lot on guys who I thought were going to turn into something and they never could.
I did this year. I had Bailey Ober at 100-1, right?
Yep.
Tear that ticket up.
What can I possibly do with my Pete Crow Armstrong tickets? 110 and 70-1. That would pay a lot of money. I'm going to have to burn those at the end of the year. What am I going to do, lay $6 now with Ohtani?
No. I mean, if Ohtani, if they're just going to use him as an opener, right, and he's not going to pitch any significant innings, I think you're still alive to somewhat of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if the guy goes out there and now makes 8 starts or whatever, you're probably in trouble.
So they're putting up right now the odds to win the National Football League MVP this year. And, you know, a lot of guys are below 10-1. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Mahomes, Jaden Daniels. Then you drop off to Jalen Hurts at 17-1. All these trends that I have basically point out that it's going to be more than likely will be one of those guys. The last 4 winners have entered the season with odds of 14-1 or lower. 4 players overall have won the last 7 MVPs. Rodgers twice, Mahomes, Lamar, and Allen. And 30 of the last 37 Super Bowl, MVP winners were on teams with odds of 30-1 or lower to win the Super Bowl. So it's going to, and so if that happens, you guys will be in pretty good shape, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Now, what was the stat, too, that like 15 out of the 16 or 16 out of the last 17 are a quarterback off a team that was a 1 or 2 seed?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that factors
so,
in.
If you think about that, you would cross Burrow out, right? You would think Cincinnati is not going to be a 1 or 2 seed in the AFC. OK, convention. Maybe some people believe that.
Yeah, I don't think they can
I
get
don't,
that high.
So then I would say Burrow doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
And you go down the list, you could. I mean, if you want to make the case for Jaden Daniels, say maybe the Commanders win that division and they're a top two seed. Hurts is interesting at 17-1 on a really good team.
He'd be the one guy that I would look at.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you're not going to get pounded on the same quarterback by everybody coming to town saying, I'm going to bet Daniels this year, and he wins it and get killed on it.
No.
Here's a question for you about the $100,000 Circus Survivor. Oh, quickly, Grandissimo. For those guys, bettors on the fence, I might get in, I might not get in, $100,000, a lot of money. If I told them that the contest would be over with by the first weekend in October, would that make them want to get in or want to stay out?
Want to get in, I would think. Can you do it for a month? Can you get there for a month? If you told them you're going to have to go 20-0, people, I want $100,000 to go 20-0. It would be worse.
Yes.
But the strategy is like screw working backwards.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Or the holiday weeks. Forget about that. I'd say if you look at it and say, can I get to mid-October, the longest to go. And what if you get down to two guys and you got $2 million? Just chop it.
Sure.
Right? Turn your
$100 into
a million. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN will complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, which is a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply.
Very good. That's quite the deal.
Not bad.
Better go take advantage of that
free money
today. Mm-hmm. So Jalen Hurts would be the one guy that you would bet on probably. Yeah.
I think he's a very good quarterback on a very good team. I mean, you're talking 5, 6, 7-1 on everybody else. He's double that.
Sure.
Triple that in there.
Might have 15, 16 rushing touchdowns again, this year. We'll get into a Major League Baseball props with Doug Kralstein tonight. How is he approaching the busy Major League Baseball card? We'll find out next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Busy card tonight, obviously, on a Friday in Major League Baseball. No day games today, Mike. No day games.
So, but there were only 8 out of 9 yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Do you think there should be at least one day game every day of the week?
Mondays are tough. I'd like to see one starting on Tuesdays and then maybe 4 on Wednesdays and 5 on Thursdays.
And then one on Friday. Even if they're not playing at Wrigley, another team can fill the void there.
You got to have a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock Eastern time game every day but Monday, I would say.
Okay, I think that's totally fair. And we'll get prop bets for tonight as we head out now to the Progressive guest line. Doug Kralstein joins the program. You can follow him on X. He's at Prop Bet Guy, and he's with Sportsline. Doug, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Earlier this hour, we talked, I think, a lot about this Merrill Kelly matchup for the Diamondbacks tonight against the Miami Marlins and his K-prop overall sitting around 5.5 or 6+, depending on how you look at it. How do you want to attack it tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's chalky because if you look at the box score, he's over this line in 9 straight, but I am on his over of strikeouts today at 5.5. I jumped on it pretty early this morning at plus odds. I still think it's pretty much playable on every book that I've seen recently. You know, he's a guy, I think his first few matchups were like consecutively against the Dodgers and Padres for a few games. So his strikeouts didn't stabilize until more recently, but I mean, the box scores don't lie, 9 straight overs. And he gets a Marlins team where, yeah, they don't strike out a ton. They're actually in the bottom half of the league of strikeout rate versus righties, especially lately, but their offense doesn't really scare me. So Kelly, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, he's a guy who's just going to grind out 6 innings, maybe even get into the 7th inning for this Diamondbacks team. And just kind of like based on sheer volume of total batters faced, you know, get us to the total that we need. So, you know, I like the matchup. The Marlins probably going to throw a bunch of righties at him too, which is a better split. So give me the over.
Doug, David Peterson's putting together a solid season for the Mets. I'm going to play this first 5 under tonight in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. You like his K prop tonight.
Yeah, so another guy, you look at the Mets, I think it's 9 straight days. It dates back to not Peterson's last start, but the start before it. 9 straight games in 9 days where the Mets have not had a starting pitcher go more than 5 innings. So at the very least, Peterson can get shelled, but you know he's throwing 100 pitches tonight. You know he's going to see as many batters as he can handle. And this Pittsburgh team is a team that has the third highest strikeout rate versus lefties this season. So this is, you know, 4.5. It's a line that Peterson has soared past, I think, in 9 of the 15 starts, 60%. This is, on paper, a great matchup against a Pirates offense that doesn't hit and strikes out a lot against lefties. So don't see a lot of downside in this one because he's pitching, he's getting 100 pitches in no matter what.
All right, very good. Love the analysis. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Doug Kralstein, at PropBetGuy on X, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. One more pitching prop that you want to go to war with tonight as the Colorado Rockies at 18-63 on the year. Yikes. Are on the road taking on the Milwaukee Brewers and Jose Quintana, and the Brewers have been like a wagon now for what seems to be like a month. And what is your approach here then, Doug?
Yeah, so another one I jumped on super early. Look, the books are not going to these days give you a lot of edge, a lot of value on fading the Rockies because they've just been terrible. But we actually got some value fading the Rockies tonight. So I'm on Quintana. I jumped on his under 5.5 hits allowed prop this morning. It's a prop that I believe he's hit in almost 60% of his starts as well. And we get the Rockies. Not only do we get the Rockies, but we get them coming off of 2 straight home series. So we get the nice Coors effect. They hit, I think, 201 against lefties this season. Quintana's not even a guy that the Brewers are going to let pitch deep into the game if he's not doing too well. So there's an out, you know, potentially where he gets pulled early. It's just, I think, 8 of 9 lefty starters against the Rockies at home this season have stayed under this line. Quintana's been pretty solid for the Brewers. So, I mean, look, the books allowed it, so give me the under on it.
All right, Doug, let's switch from the pitchers to the hitters. You're targeting a prop on Jazz Chisholm tonight.
Yeah, this is one I saved for you guys. I haven't bet it. I'm going to bet it right after this. Jazz Chisholm over 1.5. Hits plus runs plus RBI. It's a market that I've tapped into a lot this year. He's over since he came back from his injury, he's over in 13 of 20 June games. He's hitting well over 300. He gets Mitch Spence of the A's, who is allowing lefties to hit, I believe it was 320 with an OPS in like the 900s. So not very good against lefties. Jazz has been performing at Yankee Stadium all season. 300 average at Yankee Stadium. They actually moved him up to 5th in the lineup tonight. They have Goldschmidt and Rice behind him. So a ton of opportunity in that lineup that it's pretty deep 1 through 7. So clearly I love him to get at least one hit. And I think that hit will either produce a run or someone behind him will drive him home.
I want to follow up on a question here with that breakdown there with Jazz Doug. And it goes like this, because as props have become more prevalent in Nevada over the last year to 2 years with betting Major League Baseball, and I try to get into it on a daily basis, I prefer the pitching props, much like Mike Palm here sitting to my right. But the one thing that I really struggle with is if I like the matchup for a batter, what's the better bet then? Is it the hits plus the runs plus the RBIs? Is it the total bases? Is it to score a run? Like, that's where I spend too much time. It's a waste of time, quite frankly, and I don't know how to approach it.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. So I'm like you guys. I think 90% of my props for baseball season will be pitcher related. And I'm more focused on teams and how they're performing, which is obviously, you know, skewed towards pitchers and whatnot. I do think the team-based analysis is more, you know, is better to go with for batters, which lends to hits, runs, and RBIs. Look, I mean, there's going to be opportunities where I see a great matchup for a hitter versus a pitcher. Maybe the offense around that hitter isn't doing too much and I'll skew towards total bases. But I just think in today's game where, you know, the objective is to score runs and you got a guy like Jazz Chisholm on one of the best offenses in baseball hitting right in the middle of that lineup, right in the sweet spot, I usually skew towards hits, runs, RBIs. It's obviously dependent on the player, the matchup, and the prop, but that's where I usually go.
Very good. You can follow him on X at PropBetGuy, Doug Kralstein, contributor at Sportsline. Doug, thanks for the time tonight. Good luck with the bets tonight and this weekend.
Hey, appreciate you guys for having me. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Doug.
Be good. Do you guys do well and take, I guess, let me rephrase already. Is the handle every day on baseball, like pitching props and home run props. Is it worth posting?
The home runs are, because people love to bet those.
Yeah.
The public and the sharp.
Okay.
Right? Pitching, more sharp action. We try now, right? We're trying to expand our menu.
And oh, for
get,
sure.
Get more the pitcher and three or four batters on each team and put up the props on that as much as we can. Obviously, in the states where we're involved, like in putting up Cubs stuff because of our relationship with Marquee, Padres stuff. I say in Kentucky, you know, they're Reds fans. I come to find this out by visiting. They're diehard Reds fans.
Well, what's the drive, an hour and a half?
Yeah, but they really love you. You think, oh, they're just basketball fans, right? They're diehard Reds fans.
Oh, they love the Reds.
Reds, yeah. Everybody there, you go there, they talk about the Reds. You know, that's their team. And now the Predators, for those, you know, we're in the Nashville area there too. But we try to get more up because of the more interest. But, you know, I've said this. A lot of today's better came from the daily fantasy market, the young people that bet. And so they bet players, they don't bet teams. And you will see, NBA is very heavily this. Hockey's becoming more so.
Uh-huh.
Shots on goal props, point props. The NBA is just an all whole prop thing, right? I mean, it's all just assists and rebounds and points and all this stuff. So a lot of folks want player props. They don't care about teams and totals.
Yeah, I mean, there's a correlation there for sure, right? And I can't imagine how the right on NFL player props has gone up.
The first touchdown scored is amazing to me.
Oh, I bet it is.
They love to bet this first touchdown
score. Well, I got to say, that's a lot of fun to bet.
Yeah.
It is.
If you'd have asked me 5 years ago, 6 years ago, seven, what will be the biggest growing segment of sports betting, of regulated sports betting in the United States, I would have said the in-game would grow the most in terms of percentage of total handle. I'm wrong. It's props.
Props. Mm-hmm. All right. That's great info. You should want to know where the money is really going on a daily basis. And unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional sports bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines, see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And I like looking at the Circa betting splits, too, a lot, because you can tell exactly when it's updated, right? Like, I think it's every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. The amount of bets written on this game is X compared to the handle, which absolutely dominates the amount of bets. Okay.
What's really fun is to watch that the 30 minutes before an NFL game kicks off.
I'm sure.
It goes nuts.
Oh, I bet it's absolutely wonky. By the way, another state is making a mistake in the sports betting landscape. I'll ask Mike Palm about that next here on VSiN. You can always get in touch with the show on X at VSiN Live at Mitch Moss Radio. He is at Mike Palm Circa filling in for Paulie Howard today. And thanks to T. Fior for sending this in today. He wanted us to bring this up. And Mike, you're a perfect guy to ask about this because in Pennsylvania, they are trying to push together, guess what?
Not a tax increase.
That is, in fact, what they're trying to do. And people trying to fight it right now are putting this out. Act now. Take action. Say no to a tax hike on online betting. Lawmakers in Harrisburg are considering a tax hike on online sports betting and casino games. As it points out, Pennsylvania already has some of the highest tax rates in the country. Raising them even more could impact your experience and limit future innovative offerings. A final decision is just days away. And you can find this if you want to get involved, especially if you live in that state, to fight it. I mean, what would you say? The floor is yours here. You guys are in five states. You would be in 50 if you were able to, but the numbers and the taxes just don't make sense.
Well, you have to, as an operator, go in, and we go in with three things in mind. How business-friendly is the climate, which has a lot to do with tax rate and entrance fee, right? How expensive is it to get in the state? Two, how easy is it to work with the regulators in that state? gaming commissions, mm-hmm. as such, or whatever. In Kentucky, it's the horse racing board that runs the sports betting. Or, and number three, can you find a partner in that state that you're going to partner with, another company that you feel comfortable working with? But if you can't answer one, if you can't have, give a yes to one, there's no point of trying to figure out two or three. And there's a lot of – there's some states we'd like to be in. Obviously, Derek would like to be in Michigan. We haven't found the right opportunity to get a skin there. We've explored certain things. There's some states it's just – with our model, you know, we hold – you know, we say 4%. So the reality is it's around 2.5 to 2% every year, some variance. With that and the expenses, how could you pay tax? How can you pay taxes 30%, 35%, 38%, 51%?
Sure.
You're totally upside down. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still some states we're upside down when you figure in all the marketing in that. And we hope to grow it. And obviously, our tech is part of it. So don't say, you know, you're perfect and now you don't understand. It's just about taxes. Obviously, we have to get our tech better. But the business environment is the first box you have to check. I will also say this. Because, you know, we work in states. When you have these high tax rates, all it does is everybody that lives along the border goes and bets in the other state. You're just driving the revenue away from your state. I mean, Texas can't figure it out to get sports. You know, I mean, they're supporting Louisiana and Oklahoma, right? I mean, right. It's just the big states can't figure it out. But even like Illinois and Indiana, people would go to Indiana. Tax rates lower than Illinois, right? That you get better splits. If Pennsylvania does this, and now you got to go to 120 both ways, they're just pushing everybody. I'm feeling to go over to New Jersey to make their betting. So it's really counterproductive to what they're trying to do, which is to raise revenue for the states.
And how many times have we heard about this, right, with states that come on board? I mean, the people, you know, when New York refused to pass sports betting for the first couple of years, the amount of people who would be in transit every day to go to New Jersey to make a legal bet. Yep. When we went to Foxwoods in 2021, and it wasn't quite legal like in all those areas yet. And people were telling us about like across the border, there was a Rhode Island gas station that would blow your mind with the business that they do every single day, right? Here in Las Vegas, some you know, when a lot of the books were not here yet and some of these bigger books with huge menus were offering a bunch of promos, people would drive over Hoover Dam and across, you know, cross the Arizona border to make their bets on it, you know, daily or weekly basis.
I thought putting a bar as close to the Arizona-Nevada border that showed all the games would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And people would drive over and sit there and make it a book and make their bets and watch the games.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I had that as an idea.
Yeah.
Because not just for the bonuses, but also the bigger menus as well, of course. Right,
right. Right. There is like that gas station area / diner. What is it? Rosie's Diner.
Yeah.
But I think you have, that's an additional... It's been a minute, like 10 to 15 miles probably that you got to tack on to your drive. And then for some people, that might be already 45 minutes to getting to Arizona anyway.
If you live in Summerlin, I mean, you're...
Sure. And then what we learned about 2 weeks ago in Omaha, that the Spearmint Rhino Gentlemen's Club, which is still somehow in the state of Iowa because of what happened there with the river and it changed the course. And you know this, you're from there, right? So Spearmint Rhino happens to land in the state of Iowa, not Nebraska.
And it's not separated necessarily by the river. There's a cutout there that's really Iowa. It's not just clearly over the riverside, right? Because, as you say, Rami calls it an isthmus. There's this
isthmus there
within Nebraska that's still Iowa.
Yeah, right. So our buddy Kelly told us, like, he would drive by there, like, every Sunday coming home from the airport where he would work. It's like 11:30, noon, whatever. And the place is absolutely packed. He's like... They don't start dancing here until later on in the day. What the hell? And then he's like, oh, wait, this is where you can make a legal bet. So everybody from Nebraska coming across, that's a quick drive, by the way. And you realize there in Omaha, quick walk over the bridge to get to Iowa and make some bets then.
Well, when we came from the airport Wednesday night and we found that out, I quick got on my Caesars app and loaded it to bet the early Friday game. So I didn't have to go anywhere. Eventually we did with the you know, the Sprinter van going back and forth.
Yeah, sure. There is college basketball and NBA news today. Ace Bailey, who we came on the show talking about this, boy, this is not going to work out well for Utah, huh? Because the report was out there. Brian Windhorst said he, you know, had not reported yet today. And meanwhile, their other first round pick made the flight out to Salt Lake last night, getting ready. Summer League's right around the corner. This is a very fast moving, you know, calendar year for the NBA. And so it has to happen bada bing, bada boom. And then we found out that he's going to probably report tomorrow. We were talking about this before the break. The Circa Survivor has become so big, and we're anticipating 20,000 people to get in. That's kind of my number. I know you're over 18,000. The guarantee is $15 million this year. So that's $1,000 a pop, 15,000 people to get in. I think you're going to surpass that, no problem. Could you ever expand to doing a college basketball March Madness Survivor contest?
So we've sort of played around with this with some tech. Not for money or anything, but just got a group of people that work here and some VSIN people, I guess you weren't invited, were involved in it. And so we did it for the NCAA tournament. So it's a survivor of, you have to pick a winner each round. But remember, you got to kind of work backwards, because who do you think is going to be your champion? You can't use them early. You can't use a Final Four team, an Elite Eight, a Sweet 16. And we would start with around 50 people. They did it 2 years. Neither year was the competition still going in the Final Four. So, in other words, by the seventh pick, there was only one person left or nobody was left.
Wow.
I couldn't get out of the first weekend either year, because I'm listing all these teams that I want to use later. And so BYU took me down the first year. They got beat as a sixth seed against an 11.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, but it's really tough.
It's not easy.
Obviously, we had 50 people. If you had 10,000 people, you could get there. But
imagine you're hanging on to all four number one seeds going into the final weekend last year. What do you possibly do?
You remember, you got to use one each round, so you got to pick six winners. So you're almost hanging on to most of the top three seeds.
Like, if you had all four number one seeds last year, the thought is, okay, you're going to play, oh my God, you're probably going to play Florida and Houston, because you got to save, no.
Wouldn't you be saving Duke for
the final? You got to try to save Duke,
right?
You got to try to save Duke for the whole thing. And just absolutely bananas, man.
So even for, you don't want to really, what the lowest team you're going to lose, unless you really love a matchup in the first round, is probably a three or four. I mean, I was trying to find fives and sixes to use earlier.
That's risky business, man. I think
otherwise, people made it and had no teams left.
Right, sure.
They got there, but there's no way left, so they were eliminated.
So they're eliminated, yeah. Crazy. Imagine if that ever happened in the NFL, the contest here. Some guy
had to go into how about if you had to do it and go into the playoffs and you couldn't use the team twice?
Yeah. Oh, that would be. Yeah.
Looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called Xcuta.com. That's spelled Xcutta, and it's the future of futures wagering, Mitch. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, and it works for any sports. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers, Xcuta is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, and invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. Xcuta has free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. That's Eastern Time. 3, 6, and 9 Eastern Time. Send an email to support@xcuta.com. Mention VSIN, and they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcuta.com, Xcutta.
Yeah, I confuse myself. You're never going to play in a regular season NFL Survivor and run out of teams. Unless you can't even do it if you have to do two teams per, like the contest is going to finish with before you use every single team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you guys ever consider that, by the way, that option? At some point, you're going to have to use two teams?
People say do a reboot in the middle and you have to use two per week. That's been an idea we had. How about the tiebreaker is margin of victory of the teams you selected?
Oh, man. I got to think about that one for a little bit. We'll get into today's Major League Baseball card up next. Some interesting live movement on the card today. We'll see if Mike agrees with it on Follow the Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.